Welcome to a special episode of our podcast, which is called About People. It's already second episode. We are recording in English. And the reason is that we have a special guest here who is from Sweden. And it's Martin Runo, the CEO of Performia International. Welcome, Martin, again.
Thank you very much.
I don't know if you have listened to the first episode we have shoot or recorded with Martin. That's why I'll just say some words about him to know who he is. And then we'll dive into the questions. So, Martin Runo has more than 30 years of experience in the field of HR and is an expert on building productive teams. His vision is to help companies all around the world to make hiring process more clear and effective and to have teams full of productive people. In more than 20 countries where Performia operates, people have already filled out about 5 million potential and personality questionnaires. And Martin has personally evaluated a lot of them and is still improving the exactness of evaluation. So we can say he's a real expert on human potential. How do you like this?
It's okay. You know, it's like, you see, one thing of that you realize when you become an expert at anything is you also realize how much you don't know.
Exactly.
So yeah. The real experts, they know how much more there is to know about things. And I hope I'm still in that category because I'm still eager to learn and I want to know more.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Okay. So this time I would love to speak about personality, about people, about their traits, about their potential. And maybe about how can we manage them or maybe more understand people. And the first question is, what would you say, which human trait is the most important, if it's possible to say?
You know, it's like, I think one thing that makes people so fantastic and enjoyable, you know, is that people are different. Yes, there are similarities, there are things we tend to do the same, but the areas where you are most you and when you are doing the most incredible things is where you are different normally. And we can both be working at something very similar, but we do it in a little bit, we look at things a little bit differently, which also makes it both important and enjoyable to communicate. Because why do we communicate? Yeah, because to find out our differences. Oh, you see that? Oh, I didn't think about that. But you know, wow, that adds to my understanding, and the other way around. So it's like, This is also why communication is so important, because through communication we can develop ourselves and we can understand more. And I would say maybe one of the most important features of any individual is his or her willingness and ability to understand. And this is something we talk a lot about within our group, Performia, and how one can improve also understanding. Because if you look at the people you work most effectively with and that you enjoy the most are people probably that you can understand and you can make them understand. So understanding is kind of life. The more we understand, the more alive we feel. And if we don't understand, we don't look so good. You know, you say something to me and I don't understand it. And I go, what? No. And now I don't understand.
And now I can see it.
And now you explain it to me and I go, oh, okay. Okay, I get it. and I look better. So understanding affects life. And if we're going to have an effective group, we should also be able to understand each other within that group. So we should share information and we should understand ideally what the other people in the other parts of the group, what they are doing and how they are acting. Because if I understand that, then I can also make sure that we do from our side here the best things that would be good for you. So so that would be my answer, that I think understanding, which by the way is nothing you can just measure like in a personality test right away, that okay, his understanding is this or there. But what we can do, we can see what parts of understanding a person tends to do better in or maybe worse in. So in order to understand anything, that, for example, there is a need to have some kind of affinity or liking or whatever you're going to understand. So if I'm going to understand, you know, how you produce a coffee cup, you know, if I have worked in a factory where they actually produce these kind of cups and the ceramics and, you know, and how they put the surfaces on and so on, and I really have a lot of experience and understanding of that, just looking at different coffee cups could be very exciting for me, because wow, that's a different style and they have a different technology, and you know, and I can just by looking at these things I have a huge understanding, meaning also for me it makes me alive. And if we are going to work on such a project together, the more we understand individually, the better we can communicate, and the more we like each other, we're going to have no problem cooperating. And it's also something which I find very interesting, is that if you start to understand something better, you also normally like it more. And that's why when you train your people to understand their jobs, they will also like their jobs better. You know, so why do people leave their jobs? Sometimes it's simply because there is some part of the job they never understood. And then they don't find it, and you know, interesting enough, and then they leave, which is pretty sad and very unnecessary many times. Because if we instead would have made sure that the person understood key parts of the job, then the job become in itself much more interesting, and the person could then win. So the willingness and the urge to understand, I consider very key, very important. And then when we look at personality, yeah, depending on the job, different aspects can be more or less important. If I do a very detailed job, you know, for example, how I deal with attention is then very important, because there's many details and I need to have my attention very focused for a long time. While if I'm digging ditches, which is also sometimes a very important job, but my attention doesn't necessarily have to be super strong. You know, I know my job, I do it, and maybe, you know, my activity level will be more important in that job. Yeah.
When you speak about understanding, I was thinking about a manager who is managing people or handling people. So it's really good to understand people.
Absolutely. Yeah, and exactly. And the more you understand people, then the more you will like people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can take myself as an example. Until about 10 years ago, mm-hmm. you know, I were quite respectful when I saw a dog, and, you know, I don't know, because I had some bad experience with dogs when I was younger. But then, you know, we bought a small little puppy to our daughter. And then I started to play with this dog, and this grew up and became a big dog. And today I love dogs. I mean, all kinds of dogs, and they can be very big and look very dangerous, but I don't, I don't feel any fear. And it's just tells us that, you know, you can learn to like something. You can learn to understand something simply by being around it long enough.
So you were willing to understand.
Yeah, absolutely. I was willing to do it. And that's a very important factor, actually, when you, for example, select your people. You have some people who are very, very willing. You know, say like, okay, I don't know this, but I'm ready to do whatever you tell me. I'm ready to fight hard. And I have done it in this job and in that job, and I learned everything, and now I'm going on. That willingness factor, super important, because willingness in itself is kind of the foundation for ability. So if you're not willing, it doesn't really matter, but matter if you are potentially good, because you're not willing to do it anyway. I'd rather have willing people around me, because I know they can learn, they can develop, they can become stronger. And it's a lot more fun and rewarding to work with willing people. When people are not willing, they say, I can do it, but you know, I don't want to. Okay, I find that situation quite disturbing.
Good. When we are looking at hiring people, and you have a lot of tests of personality, is there something, some trait or something, what you say, oh, this is very dangerous, we cannot hire this guy? Is there one thing or...
Yeah. There are, but before I talk about that, one need to understand a lot of things. Because to take an example, being impulsive, you know, meaning I act on impulse rather than deliberate planning and thought before I do something, you know, I'm gonna buy a new car, and therefore I collect information about different cars and I study it. And when I found the car which fits my needs the best, you know, I will then look for the best possible price. And then I go to the car dealership and I buy my car. This is like a very planned and organized activity for some people. While for other people, it's like they just happen to come into a car dealership because a friend wanted to go there, and then, oh wow, that car looks good, you know, and then I buy that car, which is more on an impulse. And it's like there are certain jobs, you could say, where this tendency to be impulsive can be very hard to live with. If you are a manager for a lot of people, and you have a tendency to take snap decisions, like, boom, let's do that now. And then 2 days later, oh, no, we skip that. We do this instead, you know, which is okay when you maybe have 2-3 people around you. But when you have 100 people or even more, those quick changes could be disastrous. So this is why, while also sometimes when you're very small, if you are too much into planning and organizing everything, that could also be disastrous because you never get fast enough forward. So sometimes you can see, yeah, over here we can have a person who is a bit impulsive, it will be pretty okay, but here it would be disastrous. So this is also something we teach our clients, you know, how they can evaluate how much impulsiveness could we possibly have in this person on that job. And then there above that, there is also this factor, we can call it make it go right factor. Some people has an incredible ability to just make it go right. make things work. And they can have all kinds of different personalities, but they just make it go right. And if they are nervous while they do that, or if they are very straight and aggressive when they do that, that's not the main question. The main question is, did the final result come out all right? And if it did, then all these other things are much less important. However, from the experience we have, from all these years and all these millions of tests and evaluations, we can a little bit give an odds or a ranking on what's the chances that this is going to work out. Mm-hmm. Because we have seen that in certain combination, we say, okay, this person's going to have some trouble here. Mm-hmm. Probably, but not guaranteed. Because this make it go right factor, this is can override everything. Mm-hmm. This is why you can sometimes see people who have a lot of personality flaws, but they still succeed building big things and creating big companies, even though then they themselves have a lot of personal issues. Yeah. So this is why we always start over here. We look at what have this person made go right, mm-hmm, in his or her life. And if there's a lot of things that went right, good, then all these personality factors become less important. But it's very good to know about them. Mm-hmm. Because if you know about them, you can inform this person himself that maybe you can change a little bit how you deal with this. And you can prepare some people. But, you know, you have to be ready that he might do very quick things in certain situations, and don't take it personal, because that's what he's tending to do. But he makes it go right in the end.
And that's important.
And that's the most important, you know. Mm-hmm. So.
I understand. Have you ever seen someone who had a totally idle personality test? Or does even an idle personality test exist?
Now you're looking at him.
I knew it.
Yeah. No, no. I mean, it's like, it's funny, but when you see a very good, let's say, very good and smooth and great-looking personality test, this is, for us, it's like, yes, very nice, but we don't put an equal sign between that and that we're going to have a perfect person who generates exactly the results that we are looking for. We just know that in day-to-day work, he will say the right things, he will do the right things, and so on. But it does not guarantee the final result. You have a lot of people today that have attention on that, I should say the right things, I should look and be dressed the right way, I should not utter opinions that could be offensive, and I should not criticize, or whatever it is, but it's like some very kind of good features. But again, it doesn't guarantee that, okay, this person will also end up producing very valuable things. So we rather take the process the other way. Mm-hmm. We start over here. Does the person have decent results? And if he has, good, now we can look at personality. Mm-hmm. Because that tells a little bit like in what style he's making these results. Yeah. But the results is the number one. Mm-hmm. And if the style looks okay, then we're fine. If the style looks like, oh, it could be tough, mm-hmm, because he tends to step on people's feet, while he's operating, uh-huh, that could generate trouble. Mm-hmm. And normally we can find those troubles in previous jobs. Mm-hmm. And so we can kind of verify it a bit. But so personality sometimes can make us decide to, if we have a few candidates that we prefer, one or two of them, because of personality issues. But again, if we have world-class results, that beats everything.
Mm-hmm. I'm very happy that you are saying it, because sometimes also our clients are like tend to look at personality first, because it's something you can know a lot about. So I'm happy that you are saying it, that the step number one is productivity and results, and then we are looking at the people and at the person.
Correct. And it's actually a little bit like when we check the results first, that's where we kind of establish, do we actually have a candidate or not? Yeah. If we find if we find no results, our idea is that, okay, then we don't really have a candidate. Mm-hmm. You know, if we find results, good. Now we can start the process. Mm-hmm. You know, verifying the results, checking out how the results were done, and then looking at the impersonality and how this person cooperated with other people and how self-sufficient he or she was. and now that is very interesting. And we can actually, by understanding that, we can then treat the person in the right way. And, you know, if we know, for example, that this person we hire right now is very, very productive, but is also very, very touchy, you know, like you give this person some little criticism and something happens. Okay, so if you and I know that, we don't have to criticize this person. Or if we want to correct this individual, we will do it in a very diplomatic way. Yeah. Just because we don't need that and turbulence that happens if we criticize. Yeah. While some other people are like, you can criticize them as much as you want. And they're like, okay, I got it. You are not happy. Okay, so what should I do? Mm-hmm. They just poop, poop, poop. Yeah. They continue. And the criticism didn't matter.
Mm-hmm. So we are back to understanding people.
Exactly.
How easily are we able to change personality?
I would say that it's possible, for sure. Mm-hmm. But if you run a business, I don't think you should look at your job as, okay, we're going to change people's personalities. Mm-hmm. Because the risk you run into is that you soon start to run some kind of mental clinic. And that's probably not what you are supposed to do. So the best way to improve people is to make them more competent, more skillful, more trained, and able to do practical results. If you make your people do that, you will see that these people, they will start showing up different personality qualities over time, but not because you try to change the personality, but because you try to change the productivity. Mm-hmm. So that when you improve productivity, a lot of people, they calm down, they become more certain, they start to act better.
So it's maybe like, they try to change something in their personality to be like better producer or
yeah, but that is very seldom the right way to do it. Because it's like, if I know you're very, very good with computers, you know, and we need someone who understands computers, you know, and I want to improve you, like I will check how can we make you even more proficient with computers. Mm-hmm. And maybe there are some other functions that you need to do, like let's train you on those functions. Mm-hmm. Until you really can handle your job as a pro. Mm-hmm. You see, and when people start to perceive that, you know, I'm a professional, I know exactly what to do. There's no wobble, there's no like thinking. It's like, no, I know. There's a lot of other things that normally come right just by that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more information on that, however, you know, which we teach our clients, but it's like, I just suggest start making your people more productive, more skillful, more professional, and this other stuff normally becomes a much lesser problem. Because I can ask you, have you ever seen a really, really productive, skilled person who maybe was not Mr. or Mrs. Popular? Have you ever seen that in a group?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, if I ask you, did the other people around this individual, did they respect him or her?
Yes, of course.
They respected him. So even they may have some personality issues, but because they are producing and they are valuable, the rest of the group feels like, okay, this person is helping us. Mm-hmm. You know, we are not gonna tease or stress this person because this is a plus factor. Mm-hmm. This person helps pay my salary. So it's like, therefore, we are cool. So this is, again, the more practical, the more simple way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. According to our U-test, we know that in the Czech Republic, the one of the lowest traits is responsibility. Mm-hmm. Why do you think it is responsibility? And if you can compare it with Sweden or other countries, maybe?
I think Sweden has very similar. Mm-hmm. Responsibility in many countries is actually amongst the lower traits. And responsibility is a very interesting subject. When we train our people in responsibility, we talk about responsibility as the ability to respond, the response ability. Yeah. So how able are you to respond? And if something comes to you, you don't know anything about it. How can you respond to this? Mm-hmm. It's very difficult. Mm-hmm. That's why knowledge, when you get more knowledge and you say, oh, I know exactly, you can do a very exact and perfect response. Mm-hmm. So the more you know about something, the better you can respond. But one area where most managers have lack of knowledge is the area of people. So when people do something, it's like, oh, how should I respond to this? And then it becomes something, you know, not so logical, not so smart. And that response, which is actually not really a response, it's more a reaction. That reaction causes then further trouble, which I now have to deal with. So we look at responsibility as, you know, the ability to handle incoming effects in a very rational way, and the more you know, the more you can take, and it's actually even a measurement of how much energy can you face, you know, that's going against you. If you have high responsibility because you know a lot, you can deal with a lot more energy and tough influxes, which you have in every job. If you want to be sure that you're going to be criticized, yeah, become a leader, become a manager, you will for sure be criticized. Mm-hmm. But the question is, can you deal with that criticism? If you know about criticism and you can look at it and go, okay, boom, and you give a perfect response, the criticism is over. But if you cannot deal with it, you get criticized and you go, no, 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 it was not me, it was them, you know, and I had nothing to do with that, blah, blah, blah. Okay, you're going to get more. So it's like very interesting. But responsibility has to do with how you can face different kind of energies coming at you. And that is actually something you can improve through good training. Mm-hmm.
So to improve responsibility, I have to find the knowledge or like know more about the area.
Exactly.
I'm not able to respond.
Exactly. I can guarantee you, I have seen similar things, but you take a football player, for example, mm-hmm. you know, And he can deal with very tough situations on the field, you know, like there are people running there, they're trying to tackle him. And he turns around and sends the ball over here, and it's like he handled that very beautifully. Now, when he gets off the football field and he comes home to his wife and she says, you know, like, you're late. And he goes, what? Are you criticizing me?
Yeah.
And now he cannot deal with that because he don't know what to do.
If so he, where is the responsibility?
Yeah, so yeah, exactly. Or? You can say on the football field, high responsibility. At home, much lower responsibility. What we see in the test, you can see, is a little bit like an average of the level, of responsibility level. Okay. And if a person has a fairly high level, it's normally easier to increase their responsibility. Mm-hmm. If a person is very, very low, you have to work harder at it, you know. Mm-hmm. But you can always improve responsibility. And the simplest and most effective way I know to do that is to train your people. Great. And that's why whenever you train and make your people more knowledgeable and more, they understand better, then you get an automatic upgrade of responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay, you have already spoken about communication, and I can see that communication is a very big problem in relationships, like in also in company, but also around you. Mm-hmm. Or in the society, like we are not able to express something. It's like tough to communicate about some topics and so on. So what do you think about that? Can we like improve it and everything is going to improve, or?
Yeah, I mean, communication is a completely key subject for life because we communicate all the time. Whether we think about it or not. When I keep my hand on this table, you know, I'm kind of in communication with this table. I can evaluate how flat it is, you know, how it feels, you know, it's like, yeah, it's high quality, this and that, you know. That's a communication. Like you and I have right now a communication, you know, and you get some ideas and I get some ideas, and communication needs to be in good condition, you know, for you to do very, very well. It's one of the biggest, you could say, success factors of people who are, you know, getting ahead in life and who tend to build big things or create new realities. They can normally communicate well. And that is something that you can improve. We have not yet done so much training, you know, in Performia, because we like to train people also in communication. But it's like that's an area that we want our clients to be very, very good at. And there are some very simple things just by understanding the whole communication, you know, flow and the process. You understand it really practically well. And you can deal with it better, and that sometimes you can solve big problems with just a little bit of perfect communication. And sometimes you can have a small problem, but you don't give the right communication, and the problem expands.
It's much more bigger.
Yeah, exactly. So communication is an absolutely key factor. But communication is not, you know, for example, in our test, we have a trait called communication. But that trait doesn't explain the totality of communication. Because communication, to understand that, has many parts. What the test shows you is more the willingness to start communication and to be varied in the communication, you know, to have different pitches and tones and expressions. But whether the content of the communication is of high quality or not, you cannot see on that trait alone. Then you need to look at the whole test. That gives you a better idea of what is going on with communication. But it's a subject that we recommend every person who is managing people to know a lot about. And we want to help our clients as much as we can in this area. And we're going to increase our efforts in that area as well.
We actually have a workshop for, I think, 4 days on communication, especially for interviews and so on. So,
Right. Yeah.
Okay. There's the last question, and it's about candidates, because we have a lot of experiences with candidates who are like, who are afraid of filling out personality tests because they have bad experiences and they don't trust it. Why do you think people are so touchy about testing, about showing their personality to others?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what the most basic consideration is. Is it my personality is going to be on display, or is it I'm afraid of getting to know what somebody's thinking about me based on this test result. And, you know, I have been in this area of testing for now a very long time, and I have seen some systems, testing systems, that I would almost rate them destructive, because they can confuse people and they can make people go, what? Am I like that? You know, am I like that? And it's like really horrible. I once came across a guy who said he took a personality test, and the guy who evaluated it for him said that, yeah, we can see only two jobs that you can do. You can either become a farmer or you can be a hairdresser. It's like, what? And this is showing you a little bit how crazy these tests can be. You know? We don't do that. And we know that what's come on this test is not the most important thing about an individual. It just gives its guideline for certain things. But we know that any part of a personality test can be changed, improved, etc. It is just that we, as a company, we don't have that as our main focus. We don't try to change people's personalities. We know that you are not your personality. We know you are you. And when you are you, we know you're very strong. You can do whatever, you know, normally what you want to do. And we are more interested in what are you interested in? What's your training level? You know, how much have you done this? And what results have you achieved? Then we can look at the personality and we can see, okay, here we can see an area that if you got some ideas on how you can improve that, yeah, you could become probably even more effective at what you're doing. So I think it's super important that when you deal with personality testing, that you understand its limitations, you know, it's limited. And that if someone says that, no, when you say that I am blah, blah, and I don't agree, then it's the person's idea. That's the correct one. And somebody, I can tell somebody, like, you are a little bit like this. And he says, no, I don't see that. Okay, if you don't see that, let's forget about it. Because I don't want you to sit and listen to what I see here if it's not true for you. It has to be true for you. And if it's true for you, then you can do something with it. And if not, throw it away. Don't even go there. So that's kind of the attitude we think every person who works with testing should have. That we are not sitting on some major correct truth about the reality. No, we have a tool that we have seen, helps us a lot, helps our clients a lot, but it doesn't mean that we can never have a wrong indication of something. And we don't like wrong indications. So if we do something that the person take as a wrong indication, then the person is right, not the test.
That's a great idea. Okay, thank you. The last thing we are going to do is, I have, again, two beginnings of sentences, and you will finish it.
Okay.
Okay, so personality is not.
the total answer to successful hiring.
Great. When you handle people, don't forget
that there is always something in every person who wants things to go right. And if you can find that, play with that.
Wow, I like it. Okay, thank you very much for being here. It was really great to have you here, and I hope we'll have another interviews or podcasts or something else together.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.